His bark and bite, they're about the same. Talking Trees with John Eisenhower, Rosie on the House.
Continuing on our tree calendar for November, you've got a bullet point on here about lighting up your trees. A lot of decorations going to be pulling out over the next couple weeks.
Yeah, just a word of encouragement to be sure that you do a little bit of trimming on the trees before you put the lights in, because if you have to do the trimming afterwards, it's a real pain. And it's difficult on the lights, too, to have to be working around those. Also, just attach them carefully. You know, try not to use nails and staples and other types of things to attach your lights to the trees. Better if you do wrap the branches too. We recommend, you know, wrap the lights around the branches, which is awesome to do. We do recommend taking them off at the end of the season and not leaving them on, you know, for a year or two, because it will girdle those branches and cause some problems. And then the lights end up breaking, and then it's really hard to get them out. We've done a lot of that, all the above. But yeah, it's hard to climb the trees and do any kind of significant trimming when all the branches are laced out with lights. So nice to get the trimming done first, put the lights in, and then, of course, take the lights out when the season's over before you
hey, John,
do some more trimming.
Yeah. I just thought of something. Have you in your whole career ever wrapped lights around tall trees, like for example, Prescott's lighting ceremony? Climb trees to put lights on for the holidays.
You know, we do some light installations. Yes, you know, we are actually ramping up that service in the next year, so you might want to contact us after the won't be this season, but next year, kind of get into the queue, because we're thinking of actually developing a decor service, and it makes sense. You know, we have the ability to get up into trees, and we're already there. We actually do a bit of gutter cleaning, and you know, I mean, it just goes with the business, because we already are up in the trees and close to roofs and homes, and so yes, we don't do any currently, but in the next year or so, it could be. I do my own trees too. It's kind of fun. We get up in the trees, and you get up to the top, set a line, and rappel down, and set lights wherever you want in the different branches. And it's quite an art and a science involved in it as well, to do it well and have good quality equipment and have the right lighting fixtures and different ones for different types of trees and applications.
And if you don't want to mess with it or don't have the time or tools,
exactly,
or ability, you just go to Prescott and walk around the courthouse square. They have 183 trees. I think they wrap 90 of them right now. They're up to 120 of the trees that they wrap, and they keep them lit from the first Saturday in December through, I think, mid-February.
Yeah, mark your calendar. Well worth the trip up there, you know. You take the family and just enjoy those lights. Yeah,
Julia wants to talk to us about a sisu tree. Welcome to the program, Julia. How may we help you?
Yes, thank you. I moved into a development, and I have dock walls around the backyard. The neighbor right behind me has a sisu tree quite close to the dock wall. I don't know if he has ever had it trimmed, but unfortunately, his roots are now popping up new growth trees in my backyard, and it's driving me crazy. I'm wanting to know the best way to get rid of those, if possible.
Well, once the tree roots from your neighbor's tree have found a water source on your side of the fence, it's going to be very difficult to control that root growth, because it will continue to expand. You know, you can try to chemically treat the sprouts that you see on your side of the wall, even do some excavation down a little bit lower below the soil surface and try to find the larger roots that those sprouts are attached to, and try to chemically treat those with a contact herbicide. But that's sometimes a difficult task. I've served as an expert witness on a couple of court cases that involved neighbors with complaints about their roots growing across the property line and destroying their landscape. And it's a very difficult matter. You know, maybe something that we could talk about offline in a little more detail. I'd be happy to speak with you about it. It's hard. There's a risk of actually hurting the tree, you know, your neighbor's tree. The best thing to do, I would say, to begin the conversation would be to speak to your neighbor, mention what's happened, show them what's going on, of course, document it, and to see if they'd be willing to take the tree out. There is a process we have on our website, itreeservice.com. There's an article on how to deal with Dalbergia sissu trees and how to treat the stumps properly. Once the tree's taken down, it will send a message for the tree to survive. And everywhere where there's roots underground, it'll send up a forest of new trees. So you have to chemically treat the stump as soon as the tree is removed. But that's your long-term solution is for your neighbor to be willing to remove the tree. And if they're not, there's some other avenues for, you know, trying to get some action from your neighbor to help you.
Great. Hey, can I backtrack just a little bit? Miss Marty called earlier and she had one more question. She has a west wall of her house that's full sun and she needs a tree. She wants a shade tree. She wants one that doesn't shed leaves. Evergreen, maybe. What do you think?
Arizona rosewoods comes to mind. Seems like I heard about that recently.
Yeah, well, no, the tree that should be selected for a west exposure could be a deciduous or an evergreen tree, because in the winter it's kind of nice to have the sun coming through, but then it would be leafed out and nice and full and providing shade in the summer. But the tree or shrub to select would depend upon where you can plant the tree, what distance from the home or the window or the side of the house that you're trying to protect. If you can plant, you know, 4 to 6 feet away from the house, then of course a shrub like a Arizona rose would be ideal, or any number of smaller shrubs, large shrubs could be placed there. If you have to plant 20 feet from the tree from the house, then you're going to need a lot more vertical height to kind of get the angle to give you the shade you need at that angle. So a pine tree maybe, or a live oak. I love the live oaks for that reason. They're more upright, and they're going to grow taller than they are wide. You know, we have a lot of shade trees like your elm and your ash, which grow wider than they grow tall. So you're not, you know, if you're wanting to try to get vertical height, that's, you don't want to have a tree that has a weeping growth habit, because it tends to want to grow out and down, out and down. But if you want a tree that's going to be more vertical in height and achieve that more quickly, look for a pine, live oak, and also the Acacia annura, or maybe the Acacia salicina, or the shoestring acacia, any of those acacias that tend to grow taller than they do wide.
We appreciate the call. We're going to go to Vicki now, who wants to talk about citrus. Welcome to the program, Vicki.
Hi. I have a lemon tree that is taller than my house and was very full and gave us tons and tons and tons of lemons. Well, this year, and I fertilize it every, you know, in the months that you're supposed to. Mm-hmm. And this year, we lost like 3 huge branches off of it. So now we just have like 2 big branches going up that high.
Mm-hmm.
Can we cut down the tree to a certain level so it can begin to grow? And how do I get other branches to start filling in? Can I leave some of those suckers in? Will they turn into branches, or what do I do?
Yes, any of those lower sprouts that are still in the lower part of the tree, leave those in, because they will grow back in to kind of fill in for where those other branches were lost. But yeah, you'll have to be kind of careful too in the spring if it hasn't filled in yet, and it probably won't if this happened recently. You might need to protect that interior with a shade cloth. You can buy that 50-50 shade cloth at any hardware store or the nursery and drape it over that center part of the tree, because if that gets sunburned, then that cambium will be destroyed and there will be no sprouting that will emerge to kind of fill back in that spot. So maybe for the next 6 months, maybe the next year, you'll want to drape a square of of shade cloth right over that exposed area in the bottom of the tree. The 50-50 shade cloth is nice because it provides a little bit of shade, but it allows a little bit of sunlight to filter through to stimulate the growth of the of those sprouts below there. But yeah, you want to probably leave those other sections of the tree up, because they're going to be photosynthesizing and giving the tree the energy reserves it needs to replace the foliage that was lost. So I wouldn't cut that back down thinking that you're going to push more growth. I know it looks awkward and probably unbalanced right now, but at least for the time being, until you get that some more regrowth on in that other area, I would leave the remaining part of that tree intact, and because that's going to be your lifeline for the tree surviving.
We appreciate the call, and you can jump on the line as well at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you, or email like Chuck did from Tucson. Said, could Mr. Eisenhower recommend the best overall fertilizer that you could use on multiple trees like citrus and natives, or do they need to have separate fertilizers? If you're going to fertilize a mesquite, can you use the same fertilizer that you would use on a citrus? And then he says, go Tigers, but you can tell he's probably just pulling against Alabama and not a real Tigers fan, because he spelled go with only two letters.
Oh,
dead giveaway. Dead giveaway.
It's a five-letter go.
That's right.
Yeah, well, help me out. We've got – refresh my memory.
I distracted you with football.
You got me thinking French. talking in French right now. Go ahead.
Best overall fertilizer.
You go into a nursery, there's citrus fertilizer. Could you use that same fertilizer for mesquites or?
These different fertilizers actually are formulated specifically with certain things in mind. The NPK ratio, the nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium ratios are, pretty critical. When you have flowering trees and shrubs, you want a little higher phosphorus, which really helps to produce a better bloom. They're all going to have a combination of those three in different percentages. But overall, you want to be sure you have your micronutrients, of course, in some of your fertilizer blends, which is very helpful in our soils, because we have some very high pH, so some of our nutrients are tied up. So we might need a chelated iron. We might need some of these other micronutrients as well as the macros. It's a difficult question, because sometimes we actually change up our fertilizer formulations season to season as well. Because in the spring, we like to push a little higher nitrogen for greening up our plants, as they're putting on, there's a very high nitrogen demand in the spring as trees are putting on new not just new leaves, but also new flowers and fruit. And then in the fall, we tend to push the phosphorus, potassium for better root development, and we drop the nitrogen down a little bit, because we don't want to push a lot of new growth in the fall. At the risk that the new juvenile growth that emerges would be frost sensitive, so we kind of have an early, mid, and a late season difference in the types of fertilizer we recommend. So it's a little more complicated than I can answer in a quick summary, but hopefully that will be helpful.
Speaking of the French, did you see that Paris is about to open the world's largest rooftop farm?
No.
Oh, we'll talk about it in a minute.